The text is the gospel reading from St. John. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Here ends the text. The answer to living in a complicated world found in several songs is be a simple man. That's what Leonard Skinner has a mom advising her only son in their 1973 song, Simple Man. And there is some wisdom here. Be a lover of horses. That's what the Greek name Philip means, lover of horses. He's the Homer Simpson of the disciples. He has more duh moments in the New Testament. One commentator concludes from the incidents that John records, each time Philip seems somewhat out of his depth, and it is probable that he was of limited ability. He was no rocket scientist, that's what we'd conclude. And we'd be right. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus purposely puts him to the test, asking him, "Where can we buy bread for all these people?" All Philip can say is 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough to feed each of them a little. During the Passion Week, when Greeks come to him and ask to see Jesus, Philip doesn't know what to do, so he consults with Andrew. And it is Philip on Maundy Thursday who responds to Jesus saying, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." He responds with, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." And then Jesus responds with tired disappointment. Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip?" Yes, Philip is a simple man. And isn't it comforting that Jesus goes out of his way to find the simple man Philip for an apostle? Our text opens with Jesus having decided to leave for Galilee, but he purposely seeks out the lover of horses first. You can't determine from the text whether Jesus finds him on the way to Galilee or even in Philip's home city of Bethsaida, but find the simple man, Jesus does. In Skinner's Simple Man, most of the resources for being such are within you. This is in accordance with the highest wisdom of men. Don't live too fast. Find a woman. Forget your lust for rich man's gold. All that you need is in your soul. Find yourself. Follow your heart. This is baby boomer gold. And the problem is, not only did we sing it, but we believed it. This is not the simple man of Scripture. That's Nathanael. Nathanael means God has given. All we know about him from Scripture is he was from Cana, and he was one of the fishermen who accompanies Peter after the resurrection. These were two incidents where Jesus gave abundantly, unexpectedly, and unasked. At Cana, Jesus gave lots of wine, and after Easter, he gave 153 large fish. And in both cases, Nathanael was one of the receivers. In our text, Nathanael is shown to have simple, guileless honesty. When simple Philip tells Nathanael that they found the one Moses and the prophets wrote was to come, and he's Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael responds with, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus is not insulted, but pleased with such candor, saying Nathanael is an Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Jesus is probably referring to Genesis 27:35, where Jacob is described as being deceitful. One commentator translates Jesus saying, an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob. Before the Lord wrestles Jacob into the faith, Jacob was a complicated, manipulative, wily man, never bested by another. He outsmarts his brother and his father-in-law. Not Nathaniel. He's a simple man. His piety is simple. Jesus sees him while he is under the fig tree before Philip called him. We do know in later times the Jews planted fig trees near their homes as places of prayer, meditation, and study. There's every reason to think that this practice went back to the time of our text. So Jesus tells simple Nathanael, I saw you while you were praying. No other disciple is found by Jesus doing such. Matthew is at work collecting taxes. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they're at work fishing. Nathanael is found doing daily devotions. He's a simple man, like the simple shoemaker St. Anthony was pointed to as an example of Christian piety, which our Lutheran confessions use as an example for us all. And this simple man comes to the most complex, profound conclusion just from Jesus saying, I saw you in prayer. Because only God could do that. Nathanael concludes, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now you ought to hear a boom here. But this is what happens when you're a simple receiver of God's words. Jesus told Nathanael how he knew him, and Nathanael received those words in faith. And look how much more Jesus says that leads to. Jesus promises, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. You know where we're going, don't you? Our search for a simple man ends with the simplest man of all, the Son of Man. Did you hear the astounding titles given to Jesus in the text? The simple lover of horses refers to him as the one Moses and prophets wrote about. The simple man who receives God's gifts calls him the Son of God, the King of Israel. But Jesus doesn't refer to himself using any of those royal, divine, majestic terms. Nope, the simplest of men simply refers to himself as the Son of Man. We've been looking at this in Luke Bible class. Outside of its use in Ezekiel, it's only used in Daniel once, in that majestic scene in heaven where the Son of Man is given all rule, glory, and dominion. In the New Testament, it's only used by Jesus except in Passion Week, when his enemies can't figure out who the Son of Man is and why he must be crucified. Jesus is the Son of humanity. All humanity is in him. In the same way that all of humanity was in Adam, and so in Adam all men sinned, and in Adam all men died. So in Christ, all men are regarded as having kept the law perfectly, satisfied God's wrath, and been made alive. You see how those simple Nathanael wants to talk about Jesus' divine royal nature, but Jesus points him to his human nature. Nate wants to talk about glory. Jesus wants to talk about his suffering. Now, how can I conclude that? When are the two times that we do know angels descended specifically to Jesus? Matthew tells you that the angels came to Jesus after the devil had beat the stuffings out of him in the desert. And where does Luke tell us an angel came to strengthen Jesus? In Gethsemane, while Jesus is sweating not bullets but blood at the brimming cup of God's wrath against just your sins of this very morning being handed to him. While he's sweating bullets, blood over that, the angel descends not to knock the cup of wrath away, but to strengthen Jesus so he can drink it all. Of course, there are other angel incidents. Simple Nathanael, Philip, and other simple people who take God at his word are party to. We will be there when, in order for the guiltless Jesus to be handed over for the guilt of the world's sins, in order for him to be damned to hell and buried in the grave like sinners deserve, Jesus won't call on the legions of angels to rescue him that are at his beck and call as God the Son. And simple people will be there in the empty tomb when the angels say Jesus has been raised to life, which means God has accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins and put away his wrath. If you got this picture of a wrathful God just looking for a way to get you, then you simply haven't been into the empty tomb and heard the angels. And that probably means that after Easter, you haven't gone with the risen Jesus out to the Mount of Olives either. You haven't seen the man Jesus received into heaven. And you haven't heard the angels tell you to stop gazing up into heaven as if Jesus is no longer any help here on earth. No, he is in heaven where he lives to hear your soul's complaint, where he lives to pray for your deepest needs, where he defends you before God the Father. And he is there as the connecting point between heaven and earth. The simplest of all men, the Son of Man, is the only ladder God has ever let down from heaven. His flesh, which is just as real as yours, is the only link men or angels have between heaven and earth. Oh, men try to climb up using the power of the mind. They try to climb up using the power of the hands. They try to climb up using the power of the heart. They try to reach God with their profound thoughts. They try to reach him by their complex good works. They try to get up to him by having deep feelings about him. But none of these efforts make it into the real heaven, to the real God. Oh, such man-made ladders, men do climb, but it's not into heaven, but hell that they poke their heads. Only those who use the baptismal waters that clothe them with Christ, only those who believe the words that Jesus speaks on earth do forgive their sins. Only those who eat and drink his body and blood on earth, trusting in it for life and salvation, only these reach into heaven on earth. In 1989, the Charlie Daniels Band also released a song titled Simple Man. The simple man is the one who doesn't put his Bible away, doesn't live by the laws of jungle, but by the laws of the land, and practices what the good book says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'll bet, though I don't know, I'll bet that this country music song is sung as a hymn in a cowboy church somewhere. There is a Christian sheen to Charlie Daniels' Simple Man, but their answer to this complicated world is still us, men, what we do, what we think, what we say, what we resolve. And that, you'll recall, is Leonard Skinner's answer too. However, Skinner's version is better. In one line, and only one, they rise above men. His mom says, "And don't forget, son, there is someone up above." Now, that's not a specifically Christian thought, but it is above the human-centered view of reality championed by all men apart from the Son of Man. The specifically Christian truth, which is profoundly simple and completely comforting, is that someone who is up above came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost in the Virgin Mary, was made man and was crucified for us. As a consequence, we can believe in the forgiveness of our sins. We can believe in the resurrection of our body. We can believe that we will have a full, real life in the world without end. So the answer to living in a complicated, doomed world is not in us being a simple man, but in the Son of Man having taken our place, still being for us, and always being with us. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.